Butts, butts, butts.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, but hopefully older than 17 for that matter.
Hopefully older than 17.
Please, God, be older. Welcome to the Team Rocket Podcast. I'm Jesse, this is James, and we are coming from you live for the purpose of this recording. After watching WrestleMania 31.
And then butts.
And then butts. Oh, God. God damn it. WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
Why, clearly, what kind of nerds are we? We're watching wrestling at 8 and almost pushing 30. We're still watching pro wrestling. God.
I mean, it's better than watching anime at almost pushing 30.
That is true.
And I'm sorry if I offended some nerds out there, but it had to be said.
We're not much better. We're still watching anime at almost age 30.
I'm not.
So let's talk about that WrestleMania, James.
From top to bottom, with the exception of one match, in my opinion, it was amazing. And then one match was like, I don't believe any of this. You, sir, have not sold me. And then at the very end, I was like, the fuck did I just watch?
Well, as of the main telecast, let's start with that 7-man ladder match for the Intercontinental title. Won by, spoiler alert, Mr. Daniel Bryan.
Woo, Daniel Bryan. Awesome.
Mr. Just Lloyd Boner.
Just as a disclaimer, we will eventually get to video games. I have to put that in there so you don't think you actually walked into a wrestling-only podcast. You know what I mean?
Although the confusion is truth is, we're going to actually talk about WrestleMania, and then we're going to segue into some of our favorite wrestling games. Wrestling games you all should play if you like pro wrestling. If you have not played these games, you are giving yourself a huge disservice.
And also, on that note, if you do not like wrestling, I'm very sorry. You might find this episode weird, but whatever. You know, we'll call this episode 4.5. How about that?
Sure. Episode 4.5.
4.5.
We might round up depending on how we feel afterwards.
Maybe 4.7.
Yeah, 4.75.
Yeah.
But let's talk about WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan winning that Intercontinental title. I have some mixed feelings about that match. The match itself was good. It was your atypical multi-man ladder match spot fest. I thought it was done well. There wasn't too much craziness. There wasn't, like, you had people falling off ladders, but it wasn't the usual crazy fest that I would expect a ladder match like that to be. Certainly, like they've done with Money in the Bank matches in the past.
TLC.
I thought this one was a bit tamer. What about you?
It kind of had to be tamer because, like, what it was there for was just literally to put Bryan and Ziggler over. Like, if you remember the last, like, 30, not 30 seconds, the last, like, 2 minutes was
the headbutt exchange.
No, yeah. I mean, all of it was Bryan Ziggler, Bryan Ziggler, Bryan Ziggler, Bryan. Yeah, then the headbutt thing at the very end. And then also, I thought it was really well done and kind of funny, all the former, quote unquote, great Intercontinental champions, like, coming in to say, congratulate Bryan on being the new person to, you know,
hold the belt.
Yeah.
That comes much later in the show, grant you.
But yeah, well, yeah, you're right. But still, like, there's that there. But I thought it was pretty good. It was just.
And somewhere spot. We have. Somewhere along the line, someone has a cat jumping on dishes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Something like that. That's okay. It's okay. It's okay. I do admit that I'm a little weird about Daniel being the champion. I think after coming off last year being the WWE heavyweight champion of the world, to be the Intercontinental champion now, in some ways it feels kind of like a regression. But at the same time, I can see why you're doing it. Obviously, the Intercontinental title has been very beleaguered over the years with champions. It's just been kind of a toss-around belt, which even as far back as 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't the case. It was a belt that was constantly fought over. It was constantly in the forefront. It was on the show, and it meant something. And now, you know, as of late, it has not been that. It has kind of lost that status. So with what they're – I think by putting it on someone like Daniel Bryan, we may be looking at a potential regression to the mean, for better or for worse. I think someone of Daniel's overness can elevate the belt. I think it can – you know, make it bring it back to a certain degree of prestige, and so long as it's defended regularly and in good quality matches and put in good quality storylines. My big concern, though, is what this means for Daniel Bryan, because I feel like that this could be this kind of a way to keep him out of the main event race. I do feel like, you know, my big concern is in boosting the belt, does it diminish him?
Could be in a mark.
Fuck you.
I hope Mike Hayes listens to this.
Fuck
Yeah,
you. I like
being a
Daniel
mark.
Bryan.
You're a mark. It's
Yeah, you know
just
what?
it's
I am
gonna
a
work
mark.
out either way. It'll work
You
out.
know what? And but here's the big secret. Aren't all pro wrestlers marks? Don't you kind of have to be a mark to be? I don't know that. I say that as an
Not
ignorant
knowing
fan.
exactly which makes you a mark. I'm just saying, like, it's not gonna hurt him. There's nowhere for him. There's no room for him in the main event scene. That like that final match proved it right there. If you have feasibly, you have Lesnar, Reigns, and Rollins. Is there any room for Daniel Bryan? There isn't room for John Cena right now.
Well, getting into that all of that later.
But yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, there's isn't any room for him.
Yeah.
So if you have no room for your perennial main eventer, how are you gonna have room for D-Bry?
They should. They goddamn well should. The fact that, admittedly, I'm a huge D-Bry mark. I can't help it. I genuinely can't help it. It's my, I admit it. I'm a mark, but
yeah.
I like D-Bry. I find him endearing. I think a lot of people find him endearing.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't be the only. Going into the next match, Seth Rollins, Randy Orton. Actually, that
oh
was
my God.
That was a good match. That was a very good match. I loved that fucking the curb stomp into the RKO. That was awesome.
It literally was. That's how all of Orton's matches should be booked.
Yep.
Literally all of them.
Yep.
And they my bad. I say one thing. They always underplay how like agile he is and like how creative he can do his spots. That's why he literally has the best finisher in pro wrestling. Because he can literally do it out of anything. It doesn't matter where he is in the ring or on the mat or near the ring. He can still hit the RKO out of nowhere.
And they say those are great finishers, the ones you can just hit right out of nowhere. Like, if you come from nowhere, like the Sweet Chin Music, he could hit that at any time. The Stunner can be hit from a kick right into it. The
Rock Bottom.
Rock Bottom.
One.
Yep.
Yeah.
Rock Bottom. Finishers like that are also what he's amazing at. I think that's the fact that, again, well, no, I'm not going to mark out on D-Bry anymore. I'm not going to do it. But the running knee. The running knee. Okay, shut up. All right. Anyway, the Orton Rollins, I felt, was a good match. Then we had Sting and Triple H, also known as the Battle of 1997, 1998.
Which was like how far too late? Almost 20 years too late at this point.
Better late than never. I will say that when they brought out Nash, Hall, and Hogan, I was actually expecting Nash and Hall to turn on Hogan and assist DX in beating down Hogan and Sting for a true click reunion. That's what I was expecting. I did not get that.
No, I'm kind of mad because like the whole handshake thing ruined it. Because I was hoping they would have like healed it up so we could have got a DX versus the NWO at SummerSlam.
Oh, that would have actually that would have been really cool. Wow,
it would have been. They dropped the ball there, but other than that, it was a fan service match, which I still don't get why Triple H gets those, and he won for no reason. There, no, he does that.
I feel like
it was a miracle thing. Is all it really was.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was just them putting the nail in the coffin on WCW. It was unneeded. Look. Historically, WWE won. WCW no longer exists. There was no, there would have been nothing wrong with putting Sting over. And but again, maybe there's some long-term plans there. I don't know. Although, how can you have any long-term plans? They just had a handshake in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it. The book is shut. The ink is dry. Nothing's going to happen from this.
It was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Paige and AJ Lee versus the Bella Twins.
You
I got to
watch it.
I didn't watch it. I
just actually was pretty damn good. It was as good as any of the normal mid-card matches with mid-card dudes in it. They did do like a couple weird things booking-wise with the words like, oh, AJ Lee's going to spend the entirety of the match on the outside of the ring and then come in and win for a team. And it was kind of like they did the face in peril. But still, you didn't really need that because and also the Bellas worked their asses off. Like, if you get a chance, go back and rewatch. They worked their asses off for that match. Not going to lie.
I feel like my buddy Wade will actually kill me because I know he is a big fan of women's wrestling, and I think that's the problem that WWE has conditioned me to believe. That I'm sorry, the diva scene in WWE has been just not good. If you watch NXT, for example, you see Charlotte, you see Sasha Banks, Bayley. Their women's wrestling is actually really good. It's worth watching. It's worth giving a chance to. I would love to see Sasha Banks be able to wrestle on a main stage, but the truth is I'm afraid that they would... The effort that they allow the women in NXT to put forth in their matches, I'm afraid they won't allow that in WWE. So for all I know, I'll be frank, the WrestleMania women's match might have been really good.
It was amazing.
But I won't know that because I went to get food and something to drink because WWE has conditioned me that their women's product on their main stage is fucking terrible, despite the fact that Paige and AJ Lee are phenomenal at what they do, and the fact that at the very least Brie Bella has made improvements to her skill set.
They both have. You've been like impressed with some of the stuff that they did, like spot-wise. It was pretty dope.
Well, I'll have to go back and watch it and give it a more honest assessment, a fair assessment. But
good.
And by the way, and Wade, if you're out there listening to this, I'm sorry. I know you'll kill me for it, but I'm sorry. Let's see. Then we had Cena and Rusev. Rusev! That was a good match. I'm going to say it now. I'm just going to point out. Look, everyone shits on John Cena for various reasons. He's boring. His character's stale. And a lot of that is probably true. I'm no dispute to that.
Not like all of it.
But the man can put on a good match. And I think people forget that you can an in-ring or wrestling is as much being able to enthrall a crowd as it is being able to wrestle.
Yeah.
Someone who can put both together, that's a star. First off, Cena's not a bad wrestler to begin with. But he knows the skill set he does have. He knows how to utilize it to the fullest. He understands, I think, WWE's less is more approach. Because, I mean, a slingshot stunner? Like, hold on. What was that?
Like, there was something else he did that was, like, just as crazy. Like, he almost never, it was something he almost never does. And then it was like.
Or not a slingshot stunner. It was a springboard stunner. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, I mean. He pulled out all the stops. It was like, oh man, this is why you should get behind John Cena.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is amazing. But the crowd was like, let's just boo him anyway.
I mean, they've been conditioned to that. Personally, I think they should have Cena break Flair's record, and I think they should have him do so in the most heel turn way possible. But that's just my opinion.
No, pull a Hogan.
Oh my god, exactly, pull a Hogan. Oh my god, he'd be the most hated heel for years to come. But I mean, no, the match was really good. Actually, one thing I did like, I like Lana as a manager. I like her interactions. I like that she's yelling. Here's a weird thing. When Rusev was waving the Russian flag around, bragging to Cena, and then Cena kicks him in the face and Rusev drops the flag, I love the fact that Lana screams. It's like, ha! It just reaches in, grabs the flag as urgently as possible, and like safeguards it immediately. Like, I like how she threw her shoes. Like, she just... There are not many people that understand how to be a good manager. Like, south of Paul Heyman, not many people get it. I think Lana does, though. I think Lana does it perfectly.
I mean, because she's trying to promote her real-life boyfriend, so...
We don't know that. I don't know that, certainly.
It is her boyfriend. It is.
We don't know that.
We do.
Now you're being a mark.
No, it's true. They put it on her actual official, like, Instagram. Mm. So, yeah, not the, like, Lana one. It's on, showing, like, her CJ Perry one.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting way off topic. We're actually turning into a wrestling podcast, Jesse. Yeah. We're not a wrestling podcast.
Okay, we got to move on. We got to keep moving forward. Let's see. There was the Triple H, Stephanie, Rock, Ronda Rousey interaction.
That was hilarious.
I marked out over that. I was like, oh my God, Ronda Rousey. It was great.
Yeah. She's like every nerd's like dream.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Then we had Wyatt and The Undertaker.
That was way better than like the first third or two thirds of the main event, because like it really did tell a story of like Bray Wyatt doing his best to become the new face of fear, and Undertaker be like, "Nah, I'm not done yet, bruh."
It didn't draw me in. It didn't enthrall me. And I mean, Taker is just the age has finally gotten to him. I think the wear and tear is finally there. And I think honestly, if he retires on Raw tomorrow, I won't blame him. I think he can afford to just finally say, hey, I'm done. I truly believe that. He can. What more is there the man needs to do?
Nothing. I'm saying it's like, I think people are getting away from the concept that there's pictures of him like doing normal stuff and like lifting weights and running.
Yeah,
and, like,
but I mean, that's different than taking constant bumps on. And
but you get what I'm saying too. It's like, it is the same and it isn't the same. Because like, if Flair could do it up until the point he was almost 70, why couldn't Taker?
Yeah, but I mean, but look at the era and the kind of matches Flair was in against Taker. Flair didn't have to do Hell in a Cell.
He did some crazy cage matches, though, and he bladed like a mofo. I'm pretty sure he lost more blood than like the Soviet Union. Oh my god, the Salvation Army gets sometimes like, oh my god, I got chopped in the chest. Better blade myself. I need to make that a meme. I need Frody to make that a meme. I've seen him like take the weirdest bumps, and he gets up in the camera, and he's just bleeding for no reason.
That
like,
and I just
going on.
I don't know. I felt like you could have done more with that match, but like up until it, but it wasn't my favorite match on the card. I get why they did it, but it was not my favorite. Reigns and Lesnar, however,
that was a weird one. It's like for the first
Lesnar
5 minutes, I was like, "This is the dumbest shit in the world."
Well, I mean, they portrayed Lesnar as an unstoppable monster, which they've been booking him as for the longest time now. Sure, Reigns was getting in offense, and there was near the end when Lesnar was finally just busted open. You know, it looked like Lesnar was finally starting to collapse. Like Reigns is bubble. He's like, "I want to prove that he's not a beast. He's a man, and a man can bleed." And he wanted his 300 moment. I want to prove a god can bleed.
Yeah, but again, like I pointed out too, like the whole thing is his first match back 2 years ago, he loses. Now he's an unstoppable monster.
Mm-hmm.
Did he like take some Dolph Lundgren steroids?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
However,
83.
However, the end of that match, perfect.
Pure genius.
Seth
there.
Rollins cashes in, turns it into a triple threat. Curb stomps with Lesnar twice on the, or tries to curb stomp him twice on the second one, nearly gets F5'd. Fucking Reigns comes in, spears Lesnar, Rollins then curb stomps Reigns for the win and the title.
I mean, which, bro, he's not a, did you hear that reaction as he was leaving?
But he's who should be champion right now. Look, if anything, we're going to get more Rollins, Reigns, Lesnar matches out of this, because there's going to be a dispute over who should get the first title shot. You know, Rollins is the perfect kind of cowardly, gutless heel that he can play that character well. You know, he also knows how he's a good wrestler, and he's gotten so much better on the mic. I cannot express that enough. He's gotten better on the mic. He's good. I'm not upset with this heel being champion. Look, there when Miz was champion, I hated that. I kind of crapped on. This I'm not upset about in the least. This I can deal with. And actually, and you know, if you want to go back to previous match in the card, Cena is now the United States champion because he beat Rusev and ended Rusev's undefeated streak. Admittedly, I don't know if I would call that a waste of a perfect
league. It's not a waste of Rusev. Like, you could use actually push Rusev into the main event next. Like, bro, if they have to force their hands to kind of make Rollins a face heel, like a tweener, have him fight Rusev.
That would take some creative booking. But I would say this now. If you think about it, if you want to look at the Bryan going Intercontinental Champion, Cena being U.S. Champion, if you want to look at that in a positive manner, both of those belts, if you look at it best case scenario, they're going to elevate those belts. Because now you have two credible main event wrestlers holding two mid-card titles, effectively. Whoever wins those titles, they're going to have to be seen as legitimate main eventers.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to be seen as on the cusp. Yeah. And I mean, and basically, for that matter, you can have one of them drop the title when the main event scene, as you so poignantly put, finally frees up a bit. When it finally lightens up, we can, you know, when they need new challengers, if, say, Rollins makes his way through Lesnar and Reigns. You know, you could put in Bryan, and I guarantee you, those two wrestled the hell out of each other in ROH as Bryan Danielson and Tyler Black. Those two will be phenomenal together.
You know what I really want to see, though? Feud-wise, I know they'll never give it to us, but it'll be amazing. It's like, hear me on this one. If they don't do Bryan versus Ziggler, they should do Ziggler versus Rollins.
Oh my god.
Just to build up Rollins, even if it's just to make Rollins look better.
And you know, and
look at a million bucks. Oh my god.
Okay. So as we did say, we do have to get off this. Or rather, we have to convert this into our normal video game speak, and that is what we're eventually here for. James and I are big wrestling fans. We always have been. That was one of our many talking topics when we first met each other back in high school. And it's only fair that we parlay that into our video game hobby. So, for you all today, the best wrestling games that we have ever played, that you all should be playing, that you all should have played by now. And if you haven't, what are you doing?
You're probably not a wrestling fan. I'm just saying.
If you like video games and you like wrestling and you haven't played these games, I ask you what is wrong with you.
That's better. There you go.
There we go. And I would like to submit to the approval of the group at large
The Midnight Society.
of the Midnight Society. My first initial vote is going to be from the N64 era, the progenitor of the Aki wrestling games, the AKI wrestling games, WWF No Mercy.
The granddaddy.
One of
You
the,
make.
it was the final game, or the
It was more or less the final one.
one of the last licensed wrestling games that was in the hands of that developer.
Yeah.
And for those of you who wondered what the Aki games were, THQ, if I'm not mistaken, used to have publishing rights on first the WCW games, then they had then WWE's game or WWF's games, now WWE. They first developed WCW NWO versus the World. I want to say that was the name of it, which was on 64.
Yeah.
And then they had WCW NWO Revenge, which, in my opinion, was one of my at the time when WWF Attitude and Warzone were, or Warzone then Attitude were out, I still preferred Revenge. I loved that engine. I thought that it was based off that fucking virtual pro wrestling All Japan engine that was really good. Well, so eventually they get the No Mercy licensing. This it involved heavy creative or creative wrestler. It involved
Developed
one of the best. One of the best creative move sets that you could create any move set for your character, and it had one of the best ones this side of honestly the Fire Pro series, honest to God.
Yeah, it was
Which I'll
amazing.
get into that one later, but
Man, you said that all wrong.
the gameplay was fluid, everything felt awesome on it.
I mean, it was an
The control
amazing game.
Oh yeah, the controls were great. I loved how the way that everything was more animated than they like at the time you had Acclaim with Warzone and Attitude trying to do like that motion capture, style where they would like take photo they would take photos of the wrestlers and generate them onto the models and everything just looked had this really stiff, ugly appearance to it. They had that combo or that move combo based execution system where you'd hit a grapple button then hit like some Mortal Kombat command chain to fucking do a move.
Yeah.
And I, where you had to memorize all of this to do a wrestling move, and I thought that was really terrible. Whereas,
I mean, it was amazing 'cause you just hold A to grapple, then you would like up, down, left, right on the seat, not the seasick, but on the joystick part, and you would do either a strong grapple, a weak grapple, or something. It was amazing.
oh yeah, it was
Swift.
phenomenal.
Yeah, it was really easy to master. Oh my
Oh,
God.
yep, love that wrestling game. To this day, one of the best wrestling games out there, in my opinion. If you can find an old 64, if you have one, and you can find a copy of No Mercy, or even you could really settle for WWF WrestleMania 2000 or WCW NWO Revenge, any of those three, you can really settle for and be okay. But if you can get your hands on No Mercy, that's the one to go for. Buy it, play the hell out of it, have
Play
at.
some work.
James, what
Never,
about you?
man. I wish I could have went first, kind of. But like, you know that argument I have over what was better, seventh mix or eighth mix?
Yeah.
For me, it was actually WrestleMania 2000 over No Mercy. Because it was
Really?
like, yeah, because it was minus. It was something really minor. It was like, because I remember my cousin had No Mercy. I only had WrestleMania 2000, right?
Yeah.
And I was looking at the creative move sets and the creative belt stuff, and then for some reason, they were like, it had like my finisher. For some reason, it was like a version of the Emerald Fusion, and something else wasn't in No Mercy. And it was, I went through and I looked, and it was like missing maybe 10 to 20 moves that I just like had to have all the time. So it was like, well, I don't like this just based off of that. And like some of the creative wrestler like intro themes are different or gone. So I was just like, well. Time for me to start doing something else. Like I was like, you know what? For me, it's the same thing. It's like plus 100, but minus 20 things that I really liked. It is just really a preferential thing. That's all it was. That's all it came down to.
And for those of you that are asking, what do they mean by seventh mix versus eighth mix? That's a DDR reference specifically. Dance Dance Revolution seventh mix, aka DDR Max 2, and Dance Dance Revolution eighth mix, or eighth mix, aka Extreme.
Yeah.
The difference between seventh mix to eighth mix is about 100 some odd songs. Eighth mix has
Yeah.
about, I want to say, 248 songs in it with 256 unique heavy Oni step charts against or against seventh mix having like about around 140, 150. The big kicker though is seventh mix has the songs that were exclusive to it are really friggin' good songs
Yeah, that's what I'm
with
saying.
really
Like, I
good
love that song.
charts.
Yeah, and then to me it was the exact same thing. It's like, wow, this has like so much new stuff, but this pattern for this belt isn't in here. These moves aren't in here. This creative, it's like this outfit and stuff isn't in here.
That is actually, if I'm not mistaken, that is one thing that WrestleMania 2000 had that No Mercy didn't, was the creative belt option, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was creative, but it was gone. I was like, that was my favorite thing, was making my own. Like, me and my friends have like our own little virtual wrestling federation. The
Yeah.
fact that it wasn't there is like, we can't make our own belts. This, I don't know if I like this. And that was just enough for me to not like it as much. Like, it hands down, No Mercy was a better game, but from aesthetics and what I'd grown used to, for that not being there, it kind of spoiled it for me a little bit. Not gonna lie.
And that was okay. So I can see that point, and that is fair. To move on, another one that I really loved. You back on PlayStation. PlayStation was not necessarily known for having great wrestling games up until they got Yuke's as a developer, and they brought along the SmackDown franchise to the PlayStation console, and then later PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3. Did they put a SmackDown or WWE? It was W or Raw versus SmackDown at
It
that
was
point.
Raw versus SmackDown at that point. Yeah, it took over, I think, 2006.
Yep.
When
Because Raw had the Xbox, or the Raw was on the
Xbox
Xbox
exclusive.
games. Yep,
Yeah.
you're right. And how ironic that the years where that was prevalent, the SmackDown show was actually better than Raw.
Yeah, which is
How?
hilarious.
Yeah. But one of my particular favorite WWE Smack or WWF SmackDown game was the fourth one in the franchise on the PlayStation 2, WWF SmackDown Shut Your Mouth. The first one to actually feature Lesnar when Lesnar first debuted in the company. For those of you who first played who played SmackDown when it was on when it first introduced itself on the PS2, it was just Bring It.
Yeah.
And there was a lot, it had actually a lot of the same things I loved about No Mercy. In fact, what I always felt the SmackDown franchise was the PlayStation's attempt at trying to replicate the Aki wrestling games. Only they played a lot. They had a very similar grappling engine. They played relatively similar. The big difference is SmackDown, in my opinion, played a lot faster than
Yeah,
No
it was
Mercy didn't.
more
No Mercy
arcade.
was a slower game.
Yeah, it was more arcade style too, because you could store your finishers, like spam five in a row,
Oh yeah.
stuff like that.
Yeah, whereas whereas No Mercy, you had that spirit bar, and only when it hit max could you pop a finisher, and then you'd revert to normal again, or at like a mid setting again.
Yeah.
With SmackDown, you could stockpile your finishers and just jackknife five in a row, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one though. You're right.
But it played like a faster version of No Mercy. In particular, with Shut Your Mouth, it utilized a lot of the things I liked about No Mercy. Moves from its origin game, which I want to say was based off the New Japan wrestling games at that time. I forget. I could be wrong on that. Someone feel free to
Think
correct
it
me.
is. I'm gonna say it is.
Yeah, I could be very wrong there, but if I'm not, go. Please don't. If I'm wrong, please don't, blow me up and say, "Oh my God, oh my God," or feel free to correct me, whatever you all'd like to do. But it utilized a lot of those move sets in that game, and that was really prevalent with Just Bring It, and they carried it over to Shut Your Mouth. The creative character vastly improved.
Way improved.
From the original SmackDown, which was just, oh my God, the creative character in the original SmackDown was terrible. When they got to Shut Your Mouth, it was a lot better. You had a lot of face and costume options. Just Bring It had good creative character, but they were really bad about how layers were utilized. Create
That's
wearing
also the,
that was
go
a
ahead.
big that was a deficiency with this from SmackDown, the second SmackDown game to the third one to Shut Your Mouth. But on the whole, they were also able to replicate the Hell in a Cell match a lot better. That was something that they did not get right with the second one, and then just bring it. It was just like having a giant cage over the ring that you could climb up and stand on top of. Only I think with Shut Your Mouth did they finally make it the actual Hell in a Cell where you could walk out alongside the ring.
I think that had to do with more with like the programming limitations or what they thought they could do
Yeah.
versus, you know what I mean? It
Oh, yeah.
happens sometimes.
And then I even want to say that you could go backstage and shut your mouth and actually leap off of, like, you could do some like real ECW style matches where you're leaping off actual second floors from escalators down to the level below you,
You could
hitting like
get
30-foot swan dives. I mean, it was cool.
you could fight in front of the arena, and you could like grab onto a helicopter. It was ridiculous. That was probably one of my favorites too in the SmackDown series. Also, I don't ever remember, but Lesnar, dear God, he was like, if you played it beyond anything, beyond easy, he was damn near unbeatable. He had like the highest stats of the game, and he did that weird clothesline that clipped, and like no matter, even if you like dodged it, it would still hit you.
Yeah. So
oh my God. It was like they saw the future.
I mean, they might have. Anyway, James, your next one.
Man, you keep saying stuff I want to say.
I'm sorry. Well, clearly, you know, that tells you the state of the wrestling game industry as we see it.
Yeah, it's really small. But for me, again, it's like one of those weird nitpicky things. I actually like the second SmackDown game.
The one on the PlayStation 1?
The one on the PlayStation 1 for two reasons. I like the way that it introduced the endless story mode that you just keep going through over and over and over. Because I like something like that, like replay value. And I like the fact that I can play through it infinitely. Yeah. And I like the fact that when some of the created characters, a generic like jobber that would show up and challenge you to a match, you notice that some of them were designed like real wrestlers that had... The one that had the Rob Van Dam outfit.
Yeah.
It's, I actually like, I thought that was a really cool way to like put stuff like that in there. Kind of like Vince giving them the finger, like, or giving people the finger, like, hey, look what I can put in my game. And it was, yeah, because it was literally you beat that guy, you got the Rob Van Dam singlet with the dragon breathing fire, and then you got his moveset too, more or less. And I really like that, but again, like I said, for replay value, I'm a sucker for things that are endless, so I can play over and over and over and over and over and over. And it seemed like losing matches in certain SmackDown career modes didn't really matter. And it also had create a pay-per-view. I think that was the first one that had it. It might have been the one after that, where you can make your own pay-per-view and simulate it. You remember that?
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, you could actually, like, put wrestlers in a card and then, like, hit simulate, and it would, like, make a pay-per-view. And you could see, like, who won, or you could, like, watch it. I thought that was a really cool concept they put in the games. Because, like I said, I was a sucker for that. Like, literally making fantasy matches. Like, oh, man, I wonder what happened if I take this creative character, Booker T, and have him fight The Rock. Rock always won. Always. Bruh. I'd have to, like, a bruh, Jeff.
I would have to say for my final one.
Yeah.
And as much as I would love to make this, like, a three-way tie, I can't do it. I gotta be very resolute here.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hobby way back when I was younger, e-fetting, where you would create a wrestler and you would write out your promos, and a really goofy hobby. I loved it very, very much.
Yeah.
One day while I was e-fetting, most of us were gamers, and I think that was when, you know, emulation hadn't hit a forefront, and there were many Super Nintendo emulators out on the market.
Yeah.
And someone said, hey, you all need to check out this game called Super Fire Pro Wrestling Premium X. It was a Japanese game. There was a translated version of it that someone had patched, but it had a lot of the stuff that people were just now starting to see in wrestling games. Create a wrestler, create a moveset, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was
make it interactive and fun.
Yeah, and it was a 2D wrestler in a, you fought in a wrestling ring, but it was 2D sprites, and you know what you can do with a creative wrestler in that is, you would think it would be limited, but no, they did some amazing things, and then that spawned some of the best wrestling games I'd ever played. One on the Game Boy, which was Super Fire Pro Wrestling 2, or rather Fire Pro Wrestling 2. I'm sorry, not
yeah.
regular yeah. Fire Pro Wrestling 2, but my personal favorite, the one that I have to dick swing all over,
yeah,
was the final release, also on the PlayStation 2, Fire Pro Returns. This was the last official 2D style Fire Pro that was ever made.
Oh my god. My bad, that was something.
And in my opinion, it is one of the best wrestling games of all time. It has a very robust create a character system, albeit you're operating within the confines of 2D sprites against 3D models. It actually has entrances, although you're not going to really get customizable entrances like you would with the SmackDown series. But dear God, the movesets. The moveset creator is absolutely phenomenal. For those of you that have never played the Fire Pro Wrestling games, let me give you a lesson. It's a Japanese-based wrestling game that Japanese has very different copyright laws than we do in terms of what you can use and what you can't in terms of likeness.
Like zero.
Well, for example,
kind of.
Let's say the Fire Pro games did not have licenses to use the names of certain wrestlers from other companies such as All Japan, New Japan, Pro Wrestling Noah, that kind of thing. They could create a 2D sprite, though, somewhat in their likeness, and give it a name that resembled the character that they were mimicking, but not quite. So, let's say we had Jushin Liger, Japanese lightweight extraordinaire, the most legendary lightweight wrestler or cruiserweight wrestler in the history of pro wrestling, in my opinion.
Osmo Dragon.
Fuck you. They would create a character in Jushin's likeness, same basic design, same colors, and they would name him Bushin Tiger, as an example.
I mean, it's like M. Bison.
But, I mean, that was what they would do, and they could get away with that. So when they brought it over here stateside, they did, again, they had the same thing. They had a lot of these Japanese wrestlers and a few American ones and Mexicans one as well, and they gave them similar likeness as much as you can with a 2D sprite to a real person. They gave them the same movesets that they would normally use, and they would just change the name over. And they got this game released through Agitech, and it was released as like a discount game, like I want to say $20 or $30, but it plays phenomenally. Like, to play Fire Pro does not play like any wrestling game you normally would. Grappling in that game is very different. Yeah. So you have to learn its system to really understand how the game operates. But when you do, it's wonderful to play. It is also one of the first wrestling games I've ever seen that tried to utilize an MMA mode as well. Because because in Japan, it is not uncommon for, you know, MMA fighters to cross over into their pro wrestling and vice versa. So they introduced pro or MMA fight style fights into the game as well. And you would have a roster of MMA fighters, some that are actually famous today. Big Noguera, Quentin Rampage Jackson, Vanderlei Silva, Crow Cop. Mm-hmm. They would be in these games, and they had a grappling system for how they operated, and it played reasonably well as well. But it wasn't just that. You also had K1 kickboxers that appeared in Fire Pro Returns that would play like their real-life counterparts. And you had a match that operated with a kickboxing rule set where if you got knocked down, you would have to make a 10 count and you would have to just mash buttons to get up as quickly as you could.
Yeah.
And it had a decent striking system as well. It was just... It is, for what it was, for what it did, way ahead of its time, and to this day I still feel is one of the best pro wrestling games I've ever played. It's very hard for me to actually go and play another pro wrestling game. That's how good it was. It kind of, as much as I like No Mercy, as much as I like SmackDown Shut Your Mouth, I to this day feel that Fire Pro Returns was one of the best, if not the best wrestling game out on the market today. And if you really want to take my word for it, it is actually on the PSN network right now. If you have a PS3, you can get it on that, I think, for like 10, 15 bucks. I recommend it. I will teach you how to play it if the grappling system kind of stumps you. It is phenomenal. I cannot sell it enough. Seriously, I will. That company can give me all the money they want. They can send me all the copies of Fire Pro. I will sell that game. I will.
It's worth like $10.
Yes.
Just saying.
James?
Man, I have to do an honorable mention once. I didn't even think about it till like a second ago.
But really?
Honorable mention. Three of them, actually. WrestleMania 18 for the GameCube.
Didn't that actually utilize that same Aki engine from No Mercy? Or a variation of it?
It was a variation of it, but it tried to be SmackDown. They tried to make it a faster-paced game. And it just fell a little bit flat, mainly because the main development team was making SmackDown, obviously.
Yeah.
So this one, it kind of feels cheated. It could have been way better, but it could have been way worse. And again, because it has that Aki grappling system in it, because again, it's just the GameCube controller is more or less just a more advanced version of the N64 controller. But there was no customization. There was no like belt system in the, career mode. There we go. It's really, 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 really short, but it was still a really fun game if you just wanted to sit down and play with like your friends real quick. And almost like a Super Smash Brothers version of a wrestling game.
Oh,
it was pretty fun. It was pretty dope. Number two is The Legends of Wrestling.
I'd have to say that.
Huh?
Yeah. You know, It's embarrassing this is to say. I was actually looking at a pro wrestling link about what people were saying about WrestleMania 31 and started playing a video, and I was like, shit, gotta exit out of it because it started blasting down through me. So,
Anyway, so like I was saying, Legends of Wrestling.
Legends of Wrestling, that was the game that was published by Acclaim after after they lost the ECW license, after ECW folded, rather. That was their foray at taking the engine that they had been using and applying it towards classic wrestling, and I think using it towards, and it was actually for the PS2, I want to say PS2 in that era of gaming. Am I not? Am that
It was
I
perfect. It was actually a
actually,
really good game.
it was good. I won't say great, but it was a good game. That was actually the first game to outside of ECW to prominently feature Rob Van Dam as well, wasn't it?
Yes, it was because they used the thing of before Vince went all crazy and started buying everybody's likenesses. All those guys existed in the public domain, which is why he was even able to be made because he didn't own the rights yet to Hulk Hogan or anything like that.
Yeah.
So they snatched up all the rights they could, got the most popular wrestlers that they could to sign off on using their likeness, and then lo and behold, you made a pretty decent game.
Yeah.
It used a similar grapple system. It was like a weird hybrid of SmackDown and the Aki games. And again, just honorable mention because it was all the old school stuff and I didn't have to make it. They were pretty cool. It had a really unique look because it looked kind of like action figures, like the big rubber ones that we had when we were younger, like
Yeah.
the 80s ones. And that's why I really liked it a lot. A lot, a lot. And then finally, for my favorite wrestling game personally, was SmackDown versus Raw 2007 because they introduced another one of those interactive modes that literally just ate at my fandom. You know what that is?
What was that?
The general manager mode.
Oh, general management.
Oh my god. That was like the most addictive thing ever. Like, I used to watch people play like Romance. Like, how can you do all that little stupid nitpicky stuff? Or like Sim games, like Sim Tycoon and whatnot. Then I played that and I was like, oh my god, I have to win. I have to keep all these people's contracts up. I have to keep them all happy. I have to give this dude a title shot. I have to hire this guy because it's this guy's friend and it makes him happy. I have to book this main event. I have to book this whole show correctly from top to bottom. It was just hilarious, like how into it I got. And personally, it really made me take a look at it and go, this is one of the things that I'd be willing to trade out. Like, I was kind of upset about the some of the games took away the create a belt
Yeah.
thing. That made up for it. Also, that was the first one to have create a belt back in it. It was in that one.
And actually, you reminded me of a reason I'm a big fan of the Fire Pro series. The most recent one has created a belt.
Yeah. There's nothing cooler than like making your own championship. Like for real, I don't care how old you are. If you're a wrestling fan, there's nothing cooler than coming up with your own concept for a match or what a title belt should look like and who should have it. Especially when you give it to like your favorite wrestler who isn't the champion. Put like an FTW, make a title that's equal to the world title, give it to somebody else. Stuff like that really made me like that game, and like the move sets are really cool and really deep. It has a lot of weird glitchy collision detection that's in 2006 is gone. Also, it's the first one for that generation, like the Xbox 360, PS3 games, and it was, in my opinion, the best one that they made for until like right before they sold out and went to 2K Sports. I hate the 2K games so much. You don't even know.
Odd. Well, I do need to ask, since those were your honorable mentions, I want to make sure I got
Yeah.
that right. Your favorite wrestling game.
Ooh. Favorite wrestling game, hands down,
Of
no
all time.
questions asked, of all time. It would have to actually be, and you're gonna think this is funny because you hated it, was like because there's a little backstory to this. One year I asked specifically for a wrestling game, right?
Yeah.
I got the, I forgot what it was called, but it was the one you were talking about. They had like the goofy graphics for my grandma that it was like, it had like eight wrestlers in it. It was Yokozuna, Undertaker, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and I forgot Doink the Clown and some other people in it.
God,
That was
what is
looking.
it, man?
Oh my God, I forgot what it's called. But yeah, that's not really seriously it, but that was my last honorable mention. My favorite wrestling game of all time is still SmackDown 3. Now and forever will be SmackDown 3.
SmackDown, just bring it.
Just bring it. Don't know why, but whenever I think of a like a PlayStation, think of well, I guess yeah, think of that era. That's the first thing that pops in my head,
You know what?
wrestling-wise.
I could get behind that because, again, that was one of the first games that really it showed what you could do with that hardware at the time, the PlayStation 2 hardware. It was It was unique. It played very smoothly. It was beautiful. You had great movesets. Actually, that was a game that had really boosted or really showed like other wrestlers' movesets. Like you would have like a moveset titled Unnamed Wrestler, and then it would be like two initials, and those initials would be the wrestler that, you know, that wrestler that they couldn't put in the game because they didn't have the rights, but it would be that moveset.
Yeah, it'd be that move. So
And
that
it would be
also
a lot of popular Japanese wrestlers, which was really cool.
a lot of popular Japanese wrestlers. Rey Mysterio appeared in a game in that one, technically, because all his create parts is his mask were in it. So did
And then,
Jerry Lee, if you
didn't he
remember.
actually formally appear in the fourth one, I want to say, just or Shut Your Mouth?
Yep, the one Lesnar's in, he was formerly in that one. And it was just all in, like all around, like you said, it's like one of those weird things. It's like, again, it goes back to it's this game. They're all almost on the same level. It's minus 20 thing. No, it's like minus, the new one has like plus 50 things, but minus 10 that you really like from that one. And that's what it boiled down to me. And that's really what decided is like, huh, I like this game a lot, but it's missing some of the charm that the one before it had. It's almost like if they just like kept everything from the old game and just ported it over the new game and then added stuff to it, it would have been better. But again, it also had to do with storage space and making cuts to make certain things fit and stuff like that. But that is hands down my favorite. Hands down. At least in the Smack. No, in general. Just for those reasons you mentioned.
Yep.
It played really smooth and again, it had really good move sets. And also introduced that weird, like, did you ever play the career mode in that one?
Did I ever remote? Yeah, actually, I did.
And you remember how like it kind of became almost like Dragon Age or a PC RPG where you'd wander around backstage and then you would talk to people and depending on how you responded to them, it would like put you in these weird like matches and
I
stuff.
thought that was the fourth one that did that. Was it that? Well,
No,
the
it's the
third one
third
did
one.
it too. Both of them did that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and it was like I really liked it because it was like, am I playing like Morrowind or am I playing a WWF game? And I really liked it just because I was like, this is like a combination of two of my favorite game types. I can wander around and talk to people and go here, go there, find stuff. It was really dope. Like, why hadn't they done it that way before? Because you had complete control over everything you did and like how you almost booked your own career mode by talking to different people. I thought that was a really cool thing they put in there.
Well, I would say, ladies and gentlemen, great wrestling games that we feel you should play. If you like pro wrestling, if you don't, or you're looking to get into it for that matter, those are some of the list. Definitely the honorable mentions. Certainly the ones we've suggested. Please give them a shot, give them a look. And I would say good WrestleMania, James.
This is probably the best one I've seen since like WrestleMania 22, not gonna lie.
Really? Not even against last year's WrestleMania, the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania.
I mean like from top to bottom, it was the best one. Like everything in it made it all connected. But you know what I mean? Like I get what you're saying, because last year it had like cool spots, and you're right, that is kind of almost hard to say because D-Bry, that D-Bry.
Here's something to actually consider though with Rollins. It just occurred to me, not only do we have potentially Lesnar and Reigns coming after him, Orton has a clean win over him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of challenges for it. It's actually a very fresh horizon, and since it is a chicken shit heel, oh, people are gonna hate him, but that's okay.
I saw that I'm looking like Chris Jericho a la 2002.
Oh God, let's not talk about that. Let us never talk about that again. Ladies and gentlemen, this, I believe, brings to conclusion our WrestleMania edition of the Team Rocket podcast. If you have any comments, messages, tweets you want to send us. Again, my Twitter is twitter.com/JesseUno. James is twitter.com/YoungJameis. Feel free to send us your comments. Leave us messages, comments. Let us know what you all think. Until then, this is the Team Rocket Podcast, and this is us blasting off again.
Bye.